Last week we went through Acts 18, verse 1 to 17. I just thought we'd just continue on and finish this chapter. So today we'll be on Acts 18, and we'll continue on verse 18. When you go through the Word of God, it goes through you. And we can pick up things, we can learn from those who lived before us. And the Lord just speaks to us. The Apostle Paul, on his missionary journey to Corinth, had discovered that this city of Corinth was a central location for trade and for money and for much immorality as well. And so the task of establishing a church here seemed overwhelming, but the Lord brought some friends alongside of him. By divine providence, the Lord just sent this couple of co-workers to help him out. And if you were here last week, you remember Aquila and Priscilla. They were a couple that came alongside of Paul. Many in Corinth began to receive the gospel, and so Paul witnessed a great work of God. He experienced also resistance and persecution from the Jews. And in a moment of fear, in a moment of one of those moments where he begins to just start questioning, maybe I should leave, it's just the pressure is mounting up, the Lord spoke to him in a vision and told him, don't be afraid, speak out, don't be silent, for I am with you. And just as he promised, the Lord rescued him from his accusers and cleared the way for him to continue longer in Corinth. But now, after 18 months in Corinth, it's time for him to return to his home, to his home church in Antioch. And so that's where we pick it up today in verse 18. Why don't we read through this first, and let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. It is a mirror that shows us what we are lacking. It is a mirror, Lord. And it also is the living water that washes us and renews us, renews our mind. It is a lamp that guides us, Lord. We need your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would, if we do not have a love for your word already, that you would awaken a love and a passion for your word, that we might know you more and make you known. Father, if there's anyone here who has not called upon you to be his Savior and Lord, that today would be the day of salvation, Lord. Thank you. Guide my words. Sanctify us in your truth, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read through the passage that we're going to study today. Acts 18, we're going to read from verse 18 to 28. You guys ready to begin? Here we go. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay longer with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia, in order to strengthen all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So let's go back to verse 18, where it says, "So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow." So Cenchrea was the seaport of Corinth. And according to Romans 16, verse 1, there was a Christian church there. And in Cenchrea, this is where Paul does this. He shaves his head due to a vow he had taken unto the Lord, which is this sounds like the Nazarite vow written in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 6. And the Nazarite vow was to express a unique consecration to God by not cutting his hair. It was also, he would abstain from any fruit of the vine, any wine, any products from the grape. Also to avoid a dead body. As a Jewish believer, he never required Gentiles to practice this. This was purely voluntary. It was a Jewish custom. Now, it doesn't mean that Paul was abandoning the law and abandoning grace for the law when he did this. And this is not an issue of salvation. It was just a Jewish custom. And this was more of a personal devotion to the Lord. We're not told why Paul took this vow. It might have been that he was sanctifying himself during the difficult time in Corinth, having to endure with so much a city where there was so much immorality. And he just wanted to devote himself to the Lord and say, "Lord, I am yours. I'm sanctifying myself." We need to do that. We need to have his word in our hearts to be able to do that. Verse 19, "And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews." So Aquila and Priscilla accompanied Paul all the way to Ephesus and decided to stay there to continue the work of the gospel. Later in verse 24, we're going to see how important this was, how the Lord used Aquila and Priscilla. But Paul tried to make good use of the time that he had there and to reason with the Jews from the scriptures. Verse 20 to 23, it says, "When they asked him to stay longer with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, 'I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return again to you, God willing.' And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples." I love the Apostle Paul's heart. He has a pastor's heart. He's looking out for the sheep. He's checking on them. He's stopping along the way to make sure that they are strengthened, that they're, "You're still in the Word. Are you still in prayer? How's the family? How can I pray for you guys?" And he's looking out for all the believers that he's met along the way. But I love how in verse 21, he said to the Ephesians, "I will return to you again, God willing." The Apostle Paul was mindful of the sovereignty of God. That Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." So many times in my life, I have had to remember this and come back to this verse when I've made plans of my own. Maybe I thought we could do this and this and this, and then we'll do this. And then to come to that place and something changes, and we're unable to do what we planned. Do you leave room for the Lord to edit your plans? Or are you pretty fixed on what you want to do? And I'm reminded of Brother Dale when he planned to go to Arizona. And Pastor Pete asked him, did you pray about this? And Dale says, yeah, I told God what I'm going to do. So it's, yeah, he learned the hard way. He came back, and the Lord, I'm glad that the Lord brought them back. They're such a blessing, such a beautiful couple, Dale and Barbara, their whole family. So this is why Paul says, you know, to the Ephesians, God willing, I will return. But now the writer of Acts, Dr. Luke, he introduces us to Apollos. Verse 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. In order to get acquainted with Apollos, we must learn a little bit about this place called Alexandria. So Alexandria was like the center of education and philosophy. It was founded by Alexander the Great, and it was named after him. And the city had a distinguished library with over 700,000 volumes. Its population was about 600,000. And it was made up of Egyptians, of Greeks, Romans, and Jews, and influential. This is where Apollos had his roots. It could have been like someone saying, I grew up in Harvard. It says here, mighty in the scriptures. By eloquent, it means that he was educated and skilled in speech. He could speak and use words, unlike me. I fumble. But he was a dynamic speaker. But to say he was mighty in the scriptures, it means that he was well-versed in the Old Testament. He studied the Word of God. So apparently, he had a hunger to know God, to know the God of Israel. Now, what I'm about to say is a difficult truth, but please know that I say this in love for you. One of the things that breaks my heart is that though we live in a time when we have so much access to the Bible in so many forms, there are still people in churches today that have attended churches and still do not know their Bibles. What is your favorite verse? Do you have a life verse? Do you have a verse that you preach to yourself in time of need or in time of fear? Is there a verse that you cling to? Is there a verse that you run to? How about when you're asking for advice? Do you go to the book of Proverbs? When you want to begin prayer, do you go to the book of Psalms and begin your prayer? The Bible. So many are either distracted or they have no hunger to read the Bible. They don't have a hunger to know God more. If my wife Irene told you that I have not eaten for 3 weeks, wouldn't that sound strange? Wouldn't you ask, Ray, are you okay? Are you feeling okay? How come you're not eating? We feed our body, but we don't feed our spirit. Some have either just gone lazy, dependent maybe on someone else to spoon feed them. I'll just wait for Sunday. Have somebody spoon feed you on Sunday, when you could be feeding yourself throughout the week. And so many people remain in a spiritual preschool for years. Last Wednesday, we enjoyed the children recite their memory verses during Awana's children's ministry. It was beautiful to hear them recite scripture. But regarding spiritual maturity, the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Are you able to discern between a good and evil doctrine? When someone comes to you and approaches, days he was hungry and thirsty, and the devil came to tempt him, to make him doubt of his identity. If you are the Son of God. Jesus, when he resisted being tempted by the devil, responded, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. Now, Psalm 1 gives us the contrast, sadly, the sinners and the scoffers. I love Psalm 1. When someone delights themselves in something, you don't have to force. Being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So Apollos knew the Old Testament very well. He knew the scriptures very well, and he was able to teach with eloquence and power. And another characteristic of Apollos is that he was fervent in spirit. What does this mean? Well, it means that to be fervent in spirit is to boil over. In other words, he had great zeal to teach the things of the Lord. But unfortunately, he only got as far as John the Baptist. That's as far as he knew. He was declaring an incomplete gospel. He had zeal, but lacked spiritual knowledge, like it says in Romans 10, 1 to 4. I'm going to share something. I remember back in the day, before phones had GPS systems, we bought this little GPS device that you could put on your car and take with you. And anybody have any of those before? Yeah. So we used to use these, and when we traveled to Mexico. But one thing that needed to be done is that it needed to be plugged in once in a while to get an updated map. At least that's how those worked in that time. And so if you didn't get it updated, you would work with an outdated map. There's times that I was driving in Mexico and the map says that the GPS system says, you know, stay on this road. And in Mexico, it's kind of funny. They don't give you 5 miles of warning, men at work, construction ahead. You're just driving and suddenly there's a cone and then you're out of road. So it's interesting. It's an adventure. But yeah, my GPS system, I was working with it. One time I didn't update my GPS system, and so I was working with an outdated map. It was not complete. And this is kind of what Apollos was doing. He was working with only up to certain information, up to John the Baptist. That's as much as he knew. And the lesson here is that we need to study the whole Word of God. Devotionals are good. It's good to have a devotional book and to help you get started. But don't neglect the whole Word of God. Don't just stick to your favorite verse and that's it. You need the Old Testament that foreshadows, that tells you what's coming in the New Testament. And you need the New Testament to see what has been fulfilled from the Old Testament and for the promises that are ahead for us. So we need the whole Word of God. It's a way for us to get grounded. It's a way for us to stay planted in the Word of God. And it's a way for us to grow and mature. This will also benefit others, because the truth is we can only take people as far as we have gone ourselves. And so as you grow in the Word of God, as you grow in understanding, as you learn how to battle certain things with the Word of God, you will be able to encourage others as well and those around you. Parents, your children will grow up fast. Your children will grow up super fast before you know it, in a blink of an eye. If you want to equip them for the challenges of life, you need to be grounded in the Word yourself. Apollos was teaching the Ephesians accurately the things of the Lord, but he could only take them as far as what he had learned. His understanding of the Scriptures took him as far as John the Baptist. John did come to prepare the way, and he preached a baptism of repentance, according to Isaiah 40, verse 3. Since Apollos could only teach as far as John the Baptist, that's what Paul discovered when he returned back to Ephesus. Now, look further down in Acts 19, 1 through 5. Acts 19, 1 through 5 says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And so they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.' And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." So you see here the lesson, that the benefit of pursuing God and his word is that not only will we benefit ourselves, but we will benefit those around us as well. We will be able to take those, because each one of you is influencing somebody. Each one of you has a circle of people that they look up to you. And so you'll be able to have the answers, the words, to comfort them, to encourage them, to give them hope. You guys okay? Verse 26. "So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." So Apollos' teaching ability, it opened opportunities for him. Like I said before, he was an eloquent speaker. And so it opened opportunities for him to teach at the synagogue. After Aquila and Priscilla listened to him for a little while, they looked at each other and said, "He hasn't heard about Jesus. He doesn't know that it was fulfilled." And so they pulled him aside, they didn't correct him in public. They didn't say, "Hey, wait, Apollos." they didn't embarrass him. No, they waited, and they pulled him aside later and said, you know, they invited him to dinner or something, to their house, and they began to fill him in on what he did not know. And they did it in a loving way. They encouraged him. They told him, you know, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he did suffer and die just like he said he would. He went to the cross for us. And we thought, at first we were discouraged. But then some went to the tomb and they found that it was empty. And then he appeared to the disciples. And after a week, he appeared again, specifically for Thomas. And then he appeared to 500 others. We saw him alive. He lives. And then, just like he promised, he breathed on us the Holy Spirit. And so now, they get to fill Apollos in on what he did not know. And Apollos, he believed and he received it. And the lesson here is that Apollos was teachable. He was humble enough and teachable to listen to Aquila and Priscilla. He didn't say, you guys don't know where I come from. I come from an educated region. I come from Alexandria. He didn't say, wait a minute, what is your, what degrees do you have? He didn't say, no, you're too old or you're too young. He didn't find an excuse. He was teachable. He listened to them. He didn't resist them. He didn't argue with them. Can you identify with Apollos? Are you teachable? Or does pride get in the way? Or you just not really interested in learning from anybody else? Or can you identify with Aquila and Priscilla? A couple that love Jesus, love people enough to not leave them in the state that they are, but out of love, sharing the truth with them. Maybe it's someone very different than you. Can you identify with any of these? You guys heard my story about the guy in the plane that looked like a Satanist, right? Anybody heard that story? Anybody did not hear that story here? Everybody heard it, right? That guy was weird. That was different. And a guy in a trench coat, and I had asked the Lord for an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody, and I was hoping it would be just someone that I could relate with, you know. But no, this guy in a black trench coat shows up with long hair and a medallion, and he sits next to me, and oh no. I said, Lord, you couldn't find anybody easier. But he had a porn magazine in his left hand. He had a six-pack on the other hand. He needed to know the truth too. Jesus died for him too. And so I prayed for courage, and I prayed for him to ask me the right question that would open up to sharing the gospel. And after a little bit of just general conversation, he asked me, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure. And he said, what's the difference between someone who is a Christian and someone who's not? And that opened up an opportunity for me to begin to tell him, we all have sinned. One has discovered that he's forgiven. And that led into a conversation that ended up with him praying. Now, there's people around us that are different. There's people around us that maybe only have partial bits of the truth, partial bits of the Bible. Aren't we all children of God? Well, we all, yes, we are part of His creation, but there's something that the Lord requires for you to be a child of God. You cannot reject Jesus, His Son. And so we need to have wisdom. We need to have the courage. We need to, especially above all, be filled with the love of the Lord. Love them enough to humbly edify them, humbly and lovingly correct them, as Aquila and Priscilla did to Apollos. And they came alongside of him and they said, can we share something with you? And Apollos received this. And because Apollos also was teachable, he received this. And it equipped him better. Verse 7 to 28. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So here, after receiving the gospel, Apollos could not wait to share it with others. Do you guys do that when you receive a word today? Or are you right now already checking me out? Like, I'm done. I'm just thinking of what I'm going to eat at lunch. Or are you taking some notes? Are you keeping some of these things? Because the Word of God is speaking to us. And it's challenging us. And if we take some of this, are we ready to share it with somebody else? Apollos was. He was ready. As soon as he heard the gospel, he wanted to go share it with others. And so the brothers sent him with a recommendation letter. And Apollos was now more equipped to refute the Jews, to prove that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one, according to scriptures. Now he could put everything together. Psalm 16, Psalm 22, Proverbs 30. He connected all the dots. Jesus. That was Jesus. Our prayer should be that the Lord would fill in us what is lacking, so that we may know him more completely and make him known to others. That the Lord would fill in us what is lacking. What is lacking in us? Lord, fill us. Fill in us what is lacking. You know us. You probably have a similar story like mine, but as I look back and reflect in my life, I realize how God used numerous people to plant the seed in my life, to challenge me, to edify me. People who have pointed me to Jesus throughout my life. Some did it without being aware. None of these people were perfect. None of them are. But God has used them to challenge me to grow. Some of these are still in ministry and getting more gray hairs. I love them. Some of them have graduated into eternity. Some, like Demas in 2 Timothy 4:10, have strayed from the narrow way. One of those that God used in my life is living in repentance in prison. But the amazing thing is that God uses all these people in our lives so that we may learn from them, from their good and bad examples. I think of Samuel, the young boy Samuel. His mother dedicated him to the service of the Lord. And little Samuel was in the house of Eli, the priest. And Eli, in 1 Samuel 3, he loved his sons more than he loved the Lord. He was taking it too easy on them, and his sons were desecrating the service. They were sleeping with the women instead of, you know, they were doing all kinds of immoral stuff. And Eli, the priest, was not correcting them. He knew about it. And the Lord told him that he was going to remove him from that, him and his household. Well, little Samuel, one day was sleeping, and the Lord spoke to him, Samuel. And little Samuel comes to Eli and says, you called me? And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. And Samuel again hears the voice of the Lord, Samuel. And Samuel comes back to Eli, you called me? And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. And this repeats itself until the third time Eli tells him, next time you hear this, respond with, here I am, Lord. And so Eli, the priest, was teaching Samuel to listen to the voice of the Lord. And when Samuel heard it, he responded, here I am. The Lord gives him a message, and the message is against the house of Eli. But you see, God used an imperfect man to teach Samuel how to listen to the voice of the Lord. So again, this God uses people in our lives. Over 35 years ago, I lost my way and stopped coming to church. And there was a coworker of mine who was a Christian. And just working with him, every time I was paired up with him in an assignment, I would be convicted. The light of Jesus in him would convict me. And God was using him, even though he didn't know it. I'm grateful that the Lord did not give up on me and birth in me repentance. So, but over 30 years later, you know, I mean, 30 years ago, I mean, I came here to church all broken due to the consequence of our sins. But the Lord began to renew our minds, began to heal us. He began to heal our relationship. He began to heal our marriage and gave us a new beginning. The Lord God restores and he heals and he wants to renew you through his word. But he's speaking to us through his word. Are we teachable? Do we want to hear his voice? The Bible says some plant, some water, but it's the Lord who causes it to grow. He just wants us thirsty for him, willing with a teachable heart. Do we come to church like that with a teachable heart? Or are we just coming because somebody else brought us to church and we just want to keep them happy? Or do we hunger for God's word? I pray that you're not listening to me, but that you're listening to the word of God as he speaks to us. 1 John 1:10. There's a verse here that hits you in the face. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, what is the opposite of this? Think about this. What is the opposite of this? If the word of God is in us, we will know that we are sinners. It'll show us what we are lacking. If the word of God is in us, it'll reveal that we need Jesus. It'll reveal, and we will confess that Jesus is truth. If the word of God is in us, we will confess Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He knows me. He's speaking to me. If the word of God is in us, we will confess that he alone is holy, and I am a sinner, and I need him. If the word of God is in us, we will recognize that all our goodness is in him alone. And then we will confess our sins and be cleansed. And then we will practice 1 John 1:9. For God so loved the world. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The word of God, we need it. We need it to read us, to show us. And so many times I think that's the reason why we avoid it. In conclusion, let's take a lesson from the Apostle Paul, who had a continuous teachable heart before the Lord. Pressing towards the goal. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he remained teachable before the Lord. He did not give up. Philippians 3, 7 to 16. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that, verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Can you hear Paul's teachable heart? He says, I haven't arrived yet. I press on. I keep on seeking the Lord. I keep pursuing him. I want to mature. I want to grow. So are you teachable? Are you and I teachable? Am I teachable? Or have we been deceived into thinking that we can take it easy now, we can relax, we can coast? May the Lord speak to each one of us regarding this. The Bible calls us to make good use of the time. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable and perfect. For those who are taking notes, here's three lessons for us. You guys still with me? When you stop reading God's word, you stop growing. And when you stop growing, you start dying. Do you have your Bible with you? Do you know your Bible? Or are you depending on somebody else to spoon feed you? Continue reading the Bible. Don't stop. When you stop growing, you start dying. Number two, and remember Psalm 1. Take Psalm 1 with you. Meditate on that one. Number two, you do not need a title or degree or position to lead others to Christ Jesus. Just live it out. Look at Aquila and Priscilla. Just live out your walk with the Lord. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with you, and he wants to use you. He wants to use you in the lives of others. You might say, well, I don't know much. But whatever you know, share that with somebody else. Somebody, you know a little bit more than somebody else about Jesus, and encourage them to come to church. Come. Like Andrew said, come and see. And invited others. Number three, humility makes room for teachability. It's important to be teachable because we all are lacking something. Be teachable. We all have room to grow. And this is going to continue until we graduate into eternity. We're learning, we're being sanctified in His truth. Psalm 32, we're going to end this. Psalm 32, verse 8 to 9 says, The Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. I don't want to be like the horse or the mule that he has to force me in the direction I need to go. I want to be a lamb that recognizes the pastor's voice, the shepherd's voice. I want to be a lamb that hears the voice of Jesus and I follow. May that be our prayer as we take this into heart, that it would not be just on Sunday morning opportunity to open up the Bible. This is not just to belong on the bookshelf. This is not made as a paperweight. This is a sword. This is the map of life. This is your strength, your hope. God speaks to us through creation. He speaks to us through his son Jesus. He speaks to us through his word. And this is his text towards us, a daily text that he sends to you. And we need to learn how to prepare our meals, how to feed ourselves through God's word. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us, Lord, through the lives of Aquila and Priscilla, reminding us, Lord, through the life of Apollos, reminding us through the life of Paul, how to be instruments of your love and truth, Lord. I thank you for your word that corrects us, that comforts us in time of need, that gives us hope, that points us to what is true. Thank you, Father, for your word. Give us a hunger for your word. And by your Spirit, Lord, give us understanding of what we read. Help us not to be distracted by the many things of life. Help us to discipline ourselves and make time to know you more. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who this might sound strange, maybe they have not begun a walk with you, that today, Lord, they would call upon you and know that you have loved us enough to send your son Jesus, who died upon the cross for our sins. That, Lord, apart from you, we are dead in our sins, and the wage of sin is death. So you invite us to call upon you. Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. For your word says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you for this promise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.